Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're going to talk about rethinking church, you know, rethinking it. Just the statement alone, if you were held in captivity to religion, just puts a shiver up your spine and causes you to, like, we're not supposed to think about this. We're just supposed to do it.
That's right.
But you understand it. If what you're doing is right and is of God and it's written in the script, if it's in the lines of the Bible, then you're just going to be encouraged.
That's right.
And if it's not, you'll know where you need to change things. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't have a committee meeting, you know, have a prayer meeting and just say, you know, we need to rethink this. And let's just talk about rethinking church. First, I want to talk about a particular movie. I've only seen the version of this movie because I heard there's another version of it, but I've seen kind of like the television version of it. Mm-hmm. And it could just speak on so many levels to a church being held in captivity, and it's called Shawshank Redemption. And it's about prisoners that are in prison. I think it starts out with a particular man who gets convicted of a murder that he didn't do. Mm-hmm. And but they spend all this time in prison. And in it, you know, and I can't tell you what version. I just encourage you to get Clear Play and watch it with that. Then you don't know. But but it's powerful because we need to rapidly get this. This is why I'm talking like this. We need to rapidly, we don't have time to go, okay, let's just ponder this for the first quarter of the second century and work our way through this. You know, we're going to have to get it. We have to get it quickly. And God's, I mean, look what the adversary uses to be able to convince people to buy into his wrongness. Well, why don't we use what helps people understand quickly for people to surrender their life more quickly to God and to righteousness, you know? And Shawshank Redemption is where you have these people. They're in prison. Their life's going on, you know, inside there, and they just get used to operating in the context of confinement. You know, they start, you know, doing laundry, eating food, having social situations, you know, reading books. Their biggest accomplishments are if they ask long enough. Then finally somebody gives them a little bit of freedom. And this one particular man in there was wanting a library, and he was wanting some different things, and he'd write like a letter a week for 7 years or something. Yeah. And finally they said, okay, we'll let you teach us Sunday school. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, no, it kind of, anyway, so they give him, you know, a check for $100 or something. Oh. And send him some used books and say, okay, we solved this, stop writing us. And so he goes, well, now I'm going to write him 2 letters a week. and when you're in captivity, you know, just small little things make huge differences. And what this particular man who I'm talking about was kind of, I guess, the key role player or whatever. I'm not good with the people who they are. But he had a vision for the outside. His heart, even though his body was on the inside, his heart was on the outside. Mm-hmm. And so he would constantly help the guys who've been confined for so long talk about, you know, it's outside. Mm-hmm. You know, a young guy comes in, he, you know, didn't finish his school or whatever. And so he helped him get his high school diploma and helps him build vision for the outside. But of course, the warden, who is a very religiously lost evil dude, kills this guy, and he just kills any hope. And he uses the talents of his prisoners to be able to increase his gain and his wealth. But that we're not talking about all that. That's a whole nother story. I'm talking about Black. His name was Black, and he was an older guy, and he's been institutionalized now all of his life. Mm-hmm. And he knew that it was coming time for him to be free to live life on the outside. And so he just wanted to deliver the library books, and he just knew how to function in confinement. He knew how to be institutionalized, and he was really well. And so they had this disturbance that was happening inside the prison, and they go running because they have like a little clique, you know, their friends and stuff are together, and they go find out what's going on. They find out it's black. You know, he's probably in his 60s maybe. And he's got a penknife, a little small penknife, at somebody's throat. Mm-hmm. He's holding him back. And he's going, he's just terrified. This man's terrified. And then they take him and put him, I guess, in solitaire or something of that nature. And they're discussing black in the prison yard where you can exercise and all.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are criticizing him. But one of the men who's been very institutionalized, he begins to say that, no, you don't understand. He's just institutionalized.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he knows is the institution. He's terrified. He's terrified to step outside. He just, the unknown. He doesn't know. He would rather live in what he's used to, even in captivity, even if he gets another charge on him, even if they have to think bad of him, even if he's got to go through 13 more years of counseling,
mm-hmm.
with the pastor's, you know, therapy.
Right.
That he'd rather do that than to go out in this freedom. And he was terrified. He was scared. He was so terrified of freedom. He didn't know. He knows how to be institutionalized, but he doesn't know how to be free. He doesn't know how to be free. And he understands somebody telling him when he can use the bathroom. He understands somebody telling him that you have to wash these dishes. Somebody telling him it's time to go to bed. He understands it's time. So, you know, you need to be here at 8:15 and you need to be finished up by 8:16. We're going to be out of here eating pot roast at 8:18. I mean, they got to have some, they're institutionalized. And so long story short is they free him. And you're watching this older man very, you know, just somebody like you think of your grandfather or something. And when you understand, yet you have compassion for him when you understand he was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see him stepping out with his briefcase or something and his couple bucks. This is like in the 60s, I think, or 40s. And he steps over the threshold and you see his black shoe step over that threshold and you can just kind of feel his anxiety. He's looking around and now he's out of the building, John.
Wow.
He's out of the building. This is the unknown territory. Is the same God who we talked about in confinement, is he out here anywhere? Right?
That's right.
And so then he goes and he gets into a halfway house. And that's what the church, listen, look, don't put down halfway houses because the church is going to have to, we're going to have to develop halfway houses. Halfway houses is when you're half out of confinement and half into freedom. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to be able to jump straight from confinement, captivity, to freedom because you're not going to know how to operate it. You're going to need a transition house. You're going to need a transition family. You're mm-hmm. going to need somebody say, no. That may have worked in captivity, but out here, you have to have a fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can act a fool in the jail, but you act a fool out here, Ananias, and it'll cost you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right.
So you need a transition house. You need a halfway house. And so he moved into a halfway house. You know, he wasn't all the way free and he wasn't all the way captive. And he goes and gets a job. And the job that they give him is bagging groceries. And they didn't think he was moving fast enough. He would ask permission, you know, things like, you know, can I go tell somebody about Jesus? No. He'd ask permission, like, can I use the bathroom right now? He says, stop asking me when you need to go to the bathroom. Stop asking me, is it time to pray?
Mm-hmm.
Stop asking me, can you read your Bible? Stop asking me, can you go witness to somebody? Stop asking me, can you go preach the gospel? This is what you do naturally out here in freedom. You're free under God. This is what you do. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know. All he knew was confinement. He needed somebody mentoring him and helping him in the halfway house to say, listen, you're not crazy. I understand. You've been institutionalized. All you know, and you got to convince them because all he wanted to do was go back. I just want to be back in the prison again. Right, where things are predictable. I didn't care if they put me in there for 20 years. As long as I don't have to come out here where there's lions, tigers, and bears.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. As long as I don't have to go out here where the wolves are, that's going to cost me something. As long as I personally don't have to have a relationship with God, but somebody else can, and tell me what he's saying. Because if you don't have a fear of God, you need a fence. You need confinement. You need captivity because you'll die.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like a fear of God that keeps you in alignment with what, you know, what he tells us to do. And so then it just he just becomes so overwhelmed with it. He becomes so overwhelmed with this, Black does, that he goes to the halfway house and he takes his knife and he writes on this header in the room that he was in. It says Black was here. And then he takes a rope. He stands on a table, and all they show you is his feet at this point. And he's standing on this table where he's taking the rope and he's tying a noose. And then he kicks the table out from under his feet. And this man who was freed from captivity, this man who had all this freedom, who could have lived all this life, chose death over freedom.
Wow. Mm.
And let me tell you something. We're going to need to rethink church. Listen, I can't help believe, and I pray that I'm wrong, but I can't help believe because I've talked to a lot of the captives. Mm. That it is an institutionalized captive church. I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm not talking about, you know, doing your own thing. There's no system. We're doing God's thing. That's what you're supposed to do. He's our Lord. He's our leader. He's our shepherd. We submit to him in everything. I mean, he's the one. But then he has his form of family government, you know. And right now the government is basically, imagine, you know, prison wardens. And I literally heard, you know, these leaders over these institutions, some say, and I'm not telling that they're not, I mean, you need somebody to lead it. If everybody wants to run into captivity, somebody's got to manage the orphanage, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Thank God for the lady who gave me oatmeal and I needed it, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying anything negative about that, but if you're so terrified, and remember this, don't think about the church as whole in the concept of accountability. Understand, you will answer alone before God by yourself. No witnesses, no suspects. What you did with this Jesus you profess to know. So you can't say, well, you know, they only let me pass out books. They only let me use the bathroom at a certain time. They only let me preach something. What? No, you were terrified. You were terrified. And let me tell you something. If you don't understand this, you're going to get so upset when people look you square in the eye. And the truth is, they'd rather kill themselves than to be free. Mm-hmm. They were to die in captivity. Please, please, no. No, don't let me come outside the building. It's like the building wasn't even here. It was just a place. And it's like, what do you do for the other 6.5 days of the week? I mean, what do you do? Oh, I'm in darkness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I only come in here to do light things, but out there I do dark things. And because you read the Word of God, when you read the book of Acts, it's about a free people under the leadership of Jesus Christ, who God moves amongst us and deals with us and loves us, and people fear coming amongst our number. It's Ananias and Sapphira, you know, who God knew their intentions. And even though they thought they were dealing with man, they were dealing with God, and God dealt with them. It's about Eli, who's been very religious, and people have been making money off his soothsayingness. But it's about Paul turning to Eli and say, be blind. And everybody sees this man who professed to know some God is not. There's no structure in the context of that. There's structure in the context of love. It's love that holds us together. Listen, that movie, and I'm telling you, the whole thing from the beginning to the end in the version, I guess the TV version I saw, you know, and don't, I mean, it, I have no, I can't answer for it, but Pat says there's some things that you don't need to have, you see, but it's prison. And you're wondering why all these weird things are happening to the church. It's because the church is in captivity. Anything, you know, passion denied perverts. Things held in a tight place for too long starts twisting and turning and all that. We're supposed to be free. Not rebellious free, but we're supposed to be advancing the kingdom of God. He says, listen, he says, go into all the world. We're the go-e church, not the come-e church. You keep inviting people to your box while you refuse to get out of it. You keep inviting people to your prison, and the reason why they don't come, it doesn't make sense. They're thinking, what are you doing? You're like captive. I don't want to get in that building with you. Last I knew you before you were in that building. Ever since you went in that building, I never seen you again. And now you can't even relate to him anymore. You can't relate to me anymore. And that's what Black was. Black was like, I've been out of the world so long, I don't know how to relate to people in the world. I don't know how to function. And it's like, no, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. You're supposed to have empathy for me and reach me because God loves me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. So you need to come to me while I'm yet sinning and tell me that he loves me and tell me that he loves me and he has a plan for my life that he'll forgive my sin. While I'm dripping with my prostitution and religion's throwing me at the feet of Jesus, you look at me and say, "Where, you know, he that's without sin cast the first stone." But I'm sitting here getting thrown down by religious folk in the streets, being stoned in the streets while you're in captivity.
Terrified to share your testimony.
Terrified. And you have to understand now, the halfway house is very important. The transition. Right now, we got to transition ourselves from being under Pharaoh, under Egypt's captivity, to being free under God's form of government, which is family government. It was he that gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to be able to train God's people to live free for works of service to go into the field. It is not, I mean, there's been some awesome Easter plays, but there's been some awesome movies as well. I mean, it's more than that. It's your life. I want to see your life. I want to see how you're married. I want to see how you spend your money. I want to see how you deal with stress and anxiety. I want to see how you vote. I want to see how you live your day-to-day life. I want to walk in unexpectedly, and I want to see if you're the same person that you were when I saw you when you were expecting me. I want to know your life. I want to see your light. But you only do that in captivity. I don't even know. If you did not dress up in some, you know, Sunday school suit, I would have never known you were as a believer.
Controlled environments.
Controlled. And listen, I can relate to this. I used to run a prison. I used to be a deputy, and I was so institutionalized in regards to the church that if you didn't go to the building, you just felt very awkward.
That's right.
But you didn't feel awkward 6.5 days a week that you weren't, the time weren't there on the billboard to be in the building.
Right.
And it's like, why do you feel awkward when the warden says to be here at this certain time and you're not? And I'm just talking about a spirit of things. You know, I love the body of Christ, but listen, God's called you to be free. We need help. We need light in the world. And God allowed the church to be persecuted in Jerusalem just so they'd get out the buildings in Jerusalem. You know, the houses of go. And if that persecution was not allowed by God, that means the apostleship would not have stayed there. James, all of them would have been removed. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The leadership of the church stayed in Jerusalem. And while the people who were just comfortable and convenient and said, we're just going to stay right here, we're not going to go to the uttermost parts, they were actually scattered. Mm-hmm. And what's about to happen? Let me tell you what's about to happen. And I believe that's why, you know, we're here talking to you is, you're about to be scattered. But you listen, you're going to be like black. You're not going to, it's not like, you know, God's hating on you. God's freeing you. But you're going to feel like black. Lions, tigers, and bears.
Oh, my.
Oh, lions, tigers, and bears, right?
Right.
And so you're going to have to realize that there is no wizard behind the curtain running things. There is a God who will speak to you. And you can abide with him, and he'll teach you every step of the way what you need to do. When you hear us talk about abiding at iabide.org is a great plan for you to be able to get. We're talking about learning to hear his voice. You cannot live in freedom if you can't hear his voice. You're going to be riding one captivity to the next captivity. It's a different kind of captivity.
Yeah.
When you read about the call, the prophetic vision of the call with Rick Joyner, when he wrote that, he's talking about people were in prison and their cliques, and they didn't even know they were in prison. And so you started talking to them. But when you talk to them, then they would lighten up. They go, yes, that's right. But as soon as you'd walk away, they go back in darkness again. Then if you got vision, if you got the ability to see, you're in this big prison wall. This is the church, how he describes it. And God showed him in a vision. Then you would start to go over the wall. But on the wall were teachers. Mm-hmm. And they, if they found out you had vision, they'd start shooting at you. This is all a vision. This is God showing a picture of what things are like. And they start shooting because you're not supposed to get out of the walls. Mm. And I've heard very specifically said, when I see somebody going astray, when I see somebody leaving my building, I throw a stick at them and hit them with it.
Mm.
You know, speaking in a metaphorical way, he said. I mean, say that word, but I'm assuming he's saying metaphor.
Yeah. You're assuming he's not throwing something at
him,
right?
And to hit him, to make him come back. That's an institutional, that's a prison, sir. Jesus let them go and even turned to the 12 around him and said, what about you? Are you going to go next? You are holding God's people in confinement for your own personal gain. Sorry, that's what you're doing. You teach people together. You don't control people together. You teach them God's ways. You teach them how to abide with God. You encourage them, but it's God that does the convicting. It's the Holy Spirit that does the directing and the comforting and the instructing and the reminding. And the sad thing is that if you didn't force them to stay with you, they probably wouldn't be with you.
That's right.
And if it's being with you and not being with God, I think it's a good thing. So at least they can go out and know where they're at to begin to possibly pursue a relationship with God instead of a relationship with religion. But I think I really sense in my spirit as we begin to rethink church that begin to get in the Word. Read the book of Acts when we're talking about this and just start reading and see yourself in the book of Acts. Realize that's the church and what's happening. And think about Black when he was getting freed from this institution. That don't, you know, people would rather kill you than tell you they're afraid. You know, what part of don't you say, I'm not going to tell you that I'm actually terrified to step out in my neighborhood and talk about Jesus? You know, what part am I going to tell you that I'm trying to work overtime so you please don't make me go out there and tell somebody and be the light in the world? You know, that I indebt myself so I can tell you that I have to work more and I need more money. What, top 3% of the world in income, America? Come on.
Yeah, right.
That, I mean, all these excuses and they realize is, the reality is that it's like Black. So you need a halfway house. I mean, it's going to be difficult unless you were already seeing and functioning like the one guy was, freedom in his heart, and he understood how to be free because he was free before that. Then you're going to probably need some transition. And God's putting people together, I believe, across the land. And one thing he's done with the VFN family, you know, is how to transition. You know, we wouldn't think you're crazy when you start talking about captivity like it is normal. We'll just kind of smile and go, yeah, that's yeah. Yeah. Is that when they let you teach Sunday school? Okay, cool. Let's get some food to talk. And so you need that transition where people are going to relate to you. Because at some point, you're just going to have to be the church. You know, God will only hold your hand for so long. I mean, you got to choose who you're going to serve. And because we've been in captivity, we don't know how to act free. We don't know how to be free. We don't understand that abiding is not an option. It is a mandate, and it's the only way that we can survive in the context of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen, rethinking the church. Rethinking the church. Begin to rethink it. Rethink it in the context of his word, not some weird thing out here, not some books outside the Bible, but in your prayer and hanging out with people who understand freedom in God is following Jesus Christ. Well, you know, we were talking about in this first hour, is that not encouraging to begin to rethink? I mean, giving ourselves permission to look again.
Sure.
To rethink church, rethinking it, and digging the wells and pulling out the foundation of what we're called to be. You know, think about it. That in the beginning of, and we're just kind of continuing on. This has really started in the second part of the first hour. You know, is how could going back to the blueprints of how your house was built, how could that be wrong? And somebody says, well, you know, it's changed a lot since then. But this is the foundation. This is when the church was in its purest form.
Right.
This is before, you know, men got a hold of it and we started kicking our traditions in and our philosophies in and things we got figured out already in and our fears kind of interwoving in what we're doing. And and when you read the book of Acts, when you read it, it is amazing when you find out. It should excite you when you don't look at it anymore as a history book, but you look at it as who we are and what we're supposed to do. When the disciples were being persecuted for being the church and they were put into prison. You know, I don't know if you were listening the other day, but we've got to quit buying into anytime somebody goes to jail that what they're being accused of is right. Like, it's amazing how that is until you're the one that goes. Like, what do you can't believe you're believing that stuff? You believe it on everybody else. That good people get accused of wrong things. That's why we have this judicial system that our founding fathers you know, worked out and God allowed us to have, and God's into justice. Mm-hmm. But realize that, you know, Paul got put in prison.
A few times.
And so the disciples are being persecuted. They're told not to preach this Jesus anymore. You notice that there's some Jesuses you can preach. Paul said there's another Jesus. Somebody preaches to another Jesus. And if you haven't yet went to the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, type in another Jesus, and it'll come up and listen to it. Because right now, in the business sense, you know, there's some great decisions to be made in the future. But in regards to the another Jesus, does it really matter which other Jesus people are preaching if it's not the right one?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I think the worst form of not Jesus, another Jesus that you can preach, is one that's real close to what's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's better to be the bipolar opposite.
Right.
You know, just totally at enmity with the whole instead of saying, you know, well, you know, I'm kind of with you on that. I just see that there's another, it's an angel that came down, and we kind of follow this angel versus following Jesus because we kind of hear things more clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, men will worship angels. They'll worship angels rather than, you know, worshiping God. And if it is Jesus, then let go of your angel and follow Jesus. You know, rid yourself of all the revelations your angel gave you outside the Word of God, and acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and His Father as God, and His Spirit, the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And because Jesus said, when they do believe, I want you to acknowledge the whole aspect of who I am, although I'm three, that I'm one. And he says, you know, that you baptize them when you bring them into me. When you do that, you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you can lose your mind trying to figure out the Trinity.
Right.
But you can lose your salvation by not acknowledging it.
Mm.
And so, say what you want. When you start hearing people, you know, preach another Jesus and deny that there's not a Spirit of God and that there's not a Father God and that, you know, you'll be a God like He's a God, and you know, that was the ultimate sin, and that that's what Satan did. And so, and they come as servants of righteousness, you know, because he masquerades as an angel of light, and it's going to look right. It's probably going to look more right than what's right. Because
always
the woman
is false, always does.
Yeah, because they, you know, yeah, this prostitute that was just this woman caught in adultery, thrown at the feet of Jesus. I mean, but she was forgiven at that point, but she just still looked like the world. I mean, she's fresh out of her sin versus somebody that just squeaks when they walk on the outside, but the inside, they're like whitewashed tombs because they've been trying to earn their righteousness by their works and different levels, you know.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.